the prophecies. Today's message is to look at following the prophecies. Last week, who remembers what last week was? Following the royal, okay, Jesus genealogy and the royal lineage, the king. So last week we were following the king and the royal lineage. This week we're following the prophecies. And next week, Shana is talking about following the star. So we're just doing this following series in this time of December, following the prophecies. But I'm also going to narrow it down, because if I was to bring all the prophecies in the Bible, did you bring dinner and breakfast? And for the next week, we've got a lot to go through. So I do want to narrow it down to the prophecies at the birth of Jesus. Thought that'd be appropriate for Christmas, prophecies of the birth of Jesus. I want you to think about, I'm going to start with a profound statement here. I want you to think about this and process this. This is from the answers in Genesis, sorry. Okay, there are no prophecies for telling details about the birth of other religious leaders. Think about that just for a moment. There's no prophecies about other religious leaders. No prophecies alerted the world to the coming of Muhammad in Islam. No prophecies for Joseph Smith in Mormonism. No prophecies for David Koresh in the Branch Davidians, Charles Taze Russell, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Siddhartha Gautama in Buddhism, or any other founder of the world's religions. Yet the Old Testament pinpointed numerous details about the life of the Son of God and Savior of the world. If you hear and learn nothing else today, just sit in that for a moment. Just sit in that for a moment. We know we have many religions across the world, but none of them have got historical pinpointing of prophecies of these leaders or religious leaders to come. Sit in that for a moment. The only one that we know that we've got prophecy for and leading into hundreds of years and thousand years about a saviour, about Jesus. So let's pray into that. Lord Jesus, leading into the prophecies, the words spoken about your coming, the statements made by the prophets hundreds and hundreds of years before your coming, and how it all tied together. May we see today what you're trying to show us through your word and through your truth, and how you have been from the beginning until now and into the future. May our hearts be stirred to understand what you're doing and what you have done. Speak to us today, Lord Jesus, and give us an understanding at a greater level once again. In Jesus, your name, amen. I'm going to start here in Luke 24. It's nothing to do with Jesus' birth, but it's going to give us some understanding of something that took place. We talk about these disciples on the road to Emmaus. He said to them, this is Jesus, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. This is Jesus' opening line to these disciples walking back to Emmaus, or on the Emmaus walk, because they're upset. Jesus has been killed, and they don't understand, and they didn't recognize Jesus walking with them. Jesus said, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? So you didn't believe what the prophets had spoken. Don't you understand what was meant to take place? And this sermon would be amazing. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. I'd like to have that sermon. And when he was at the table with them, he took some bread, he gave them thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. And as soon as he broke that bread, all of a sudden their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. So all of a sudden their eyes are open, then he disappears. And this is what they say. They asked each other, wow, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Weren't our hearts burning within us when he opened the scriptures? All of a sudden, everything started to make sense. May that be for us today. May we be in a place where we see the prophecies or see the scriptures. May we today, our hearts burn within us coming into this Christmas. Let's see what happens. So the birth of Jesus was foretold through different prophecies. So I'm just gonna touch on some of these prophecies as we go through. So in Scott reading this morning, right? Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. So we saw the lineage last week coming through David and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. His kingship was prophesied in Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus coming. In Isaiah 7:13, then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, again, the house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Can you imagine people reading? You and I get it because we've heard about Mary and the virgin birth. Imagine beforehand going, hang on, that's more than a sign. How is that possible? I'm just put yourself back at that time when he's writing it. Even if you're Isaiah, start writing, Lord, are you sure? Do you want me to write about a virgin that's going to give birth to a son? I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm going to write it down. I don't know. People are going to look at me. They're going to think I'm a bit strange, but I'm going to write this down. And they'll call him Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Wow. And so we have this place where we know the story, where we know the understanding of the virgin birth in that lowly place. So we just saw a picture of a king, and now we see a picture of a lowly birth. So the best way to look at this would be to now put some of these prophecies together in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, I'm going to confess right here and right now that when I read the scriptures or read the Bible, and I'll read, say, through Matthew, for example, and I'm reading the story, and then it hits one of the prophecies in that's planted in, as the author has put, I skim over it because it's distracting the storyline. That's just me, right? And I've been rebuked from that. And so today I'm going to highlight those prophecies within the scriptures and the reasoning behind it. So I'm going to read through Matthew and show you what Matthew is trying to do here. He's not only trying to tell you the story of Jesus, but he's trying to give it the authority through the prophecies. So Matthew 1:20, we pick up here. But after he'd considered this is Joseph, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Why? Because Mary's just come to him and said, I'm pregnant. And he didn't want to hear that, of course, as you can imagine. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. In Isaiah, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Notice as Matthew has put this into the script, he's putting the understanding of the story of Jesus and bringing the prophecies in. So each time I've got the yellow as the prophecies. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who is born king of the Jews? We looked at this last week. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. And when he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where was this Messiah to be born? In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written in Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and he said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child with his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So when he got up, he took the child and his mother and during the night and left for Egypt, and where he stayed until the death of Herod. So was fulfilled what the Lord had said to the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son, Isaiah 11:1b. And when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. Then he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learnt from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Then after Herod had died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, who was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene, meaning branch or shoot of Jesse. So what does that mean? What have we just had? We've had the story of Jesus' birth. We've had it written out by Matthew, the author. And as Matthew, the author, is writing out the story of Jesus, he's all of a sudden gone, look, we need some authority behind what's written here. Here are prophecies to match the story of Jesus. And he's put those prophecies in to the word to give clarity, to give definition, to give understanding of what's taking place. Can you imagine somebody who's reading these prophecies through Isaiah, through Micah, through Hosea, reading these prophecies going, I don't get it. How can the Messiah be from Nazareth area? How can the Messiah be born in Bethlehem? How can the Messiah come out of Egypt? How can all these, like these people through Judea, why are these women mourning? How is it possible that a virgin girl can have a baby? How do you put all that together before understanding the story of Jesus? How do you put that together? How do you say all these prophecies make sense? So what do the prophecies in Matthew tell us about the birth of Jesus, of Jesus' birth? Well, in just the first two chapters of Matthew, we see that God foretold the virginal conception of the Messiah, who would be born in Bethlehem, yet in some way would come out of Egypt and then be called a Nazarene. We also see that bitter agony would grip the mothers in the area of Judea through Herod's anger. The prophecies now make some sense, don't they? Like, if you start putting it together, if you understand the prophecies, have the story of Jesus, it now all starts to come together. So how do these prophecies comfort us? How do these prophecies of Jesus' birth comfort us, you and I, today? It's one thing last week to talk about Jesus the King and the comfort that we have knowing that Jesus was born a king and he is the king that rules forever. But we've just looked at prophecies of Jesus' birth and being born and coming into the world. How does it comfort us? How are we comforted by the prophecies of Jesus' birth and for us today? Can I just say this? By our confusion pre-Jesus, if we were around before Jesus, our confusion of a Messiah coming and the prophecies would not have made sense. As I mentioned, how can he be in Egypt? How can he be born from a virgin? How is it possible that he's from Nazareth? How is it that he's born in Bethlehem? How is it that, you know, all these pain and suffering is going to come through? How would that have made sense? And why are we comforted by that? It's because we also have a lot of prophecies today in our Bibles about Jesus coming back. And I want you to be comforted today as much as we are confused about the revelations of Jesus or his return visit, how it's going to happen, how it's going to take place. Let us be comforted that historically there was confusion about the Messiah coming, but he came. Today, there's confusion about Jesus coming back, but we know he's going to come back through the example of what we've seen in the Old Testament. So let us be comforted today that he will return. Does anybody have any idea of how many years it was between Abraham going up on a mountain called Mount Moriah, going up on a mountain, taking his son Isaac up to the top of this mountain, is preparing the sacrifice, and God's saying, no, I'm going to bring my son, or I will bring the sacrifice. Does anybody have any idea how many years it was between Abraham and the time of Jesus in Jerusalem? About 1800 to 2000, all right? From 1800 to 2000, we skim over that in the Bible quickly, don't we? We go, oh, Abraham and Isaac, and exactly the same mountain, nearly 2,000 years, 1800 to 2,000 years. Later, we find Jesus on the same mountain. But the prophecy went for 2,000 years. So we're sitting now 2,000 years after Jesus. I'm not saying it's happening right now, but I'm saying it can't be too far away. But the prophecies of Jesus' return is what we should be excited about. Matthew 24:39b. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. It's a lot of confusion about when he's coming, and some people spend a lot of time over saying what date, what time. That's not our job. Our job is to get on with sharing Jesus. Our job is to get people to see the light of Jesus and to be disciples and disciple makers. That's our job. But we've got to remember that he's coming back. That his time will be his time, not our time. When Jesus comes back, that's what we need to be excited about. We might be confused about it, but we're excited about it because the promise is he's coming. Mark 13:26, at that time people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. At that time people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds at the ends of the earth. This is Jesus speaking. How's he going to do that? I had some people say, how's he going to do that? I don't know. I got some sort of picture, but that doesn't, I don't know how he's going to do it, but it's going to be amazing. If Jesus is saying he's coming in his glory and he's coming in his wonder, coming in some way that we're just going to be blown away, because apparently the sun and the moon and the stars, you won't be seeing them anymore because his glory is going to be so amazing. But these are the prophecies. If you ask me to explain it so you understand it, I can't explain it and understand it. It's too big. But is it going to happen? Yeah. Is it prophetic? Yes. They didn't know about how things were going to happen before Jesus' birth when we come to the Mary being a virgin or all these other things taking place. But it happened. Jesus came lowly as a Messiah. We know he's coming back now as a king and a conqueror. And then just to comfort you today, in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, wouldn't I have told you that? Would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. That has to give you comfort. This is a promise that Jesus provides. He is making a place for you, and he will come back, so that he is coming back for you. We've got to live in these prophecies. We've got to live in this understanding. We've got to live as believers of Jesus to know that we might not understand all the prophecies, but the centrality of it is that Jesus is coming back. We might not understand them completely, but he's coming back. The day, the time, and the place, I don't know. How it's going to look, I don't know. I just know that it's going to be amazing. And the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. At his birth, some wise men went on their knees to Jesus. At his birth, some shepherds came along. At his birth, people were there. We had angels and other things taking place. But when he returns, he's returning as a king. So don't let your hearts be troubled. And I'm going to leave you with this one last verse, which is Acts 1:10. The disciples were looking intently up into the sky as Jesus was going. Jesus was going up in Acts 1:10. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood with them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, he'll come back in the same way that you've seen him going into heaven. What are you standing here looking at? He's really saying, men of Galilee, go and tell everybody what Jesus has done. Don't just stand here looking at the sky. Come, share the gospel, share the message, share the good news. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Come and let Jesus take you on a powerful and amazing journey. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our Messiah. As much as there's prophecy, we read a lot of prophecy we don't fully understand. Let's not get caught up in it. Let's just see the wonder and the beauty of the promises that you bring. There would have been confusion before you came here as a child, and it all came together. The prophecies came together that you, the Messiah, arrived here on earth. And the prophecies are sitting here, many, many prophecies in the New Testament and Old Testament about your return, your coming back. May we sit in that, recognizing that we don't understand exactly the time nor the hour, the place or what it will look like. We just know it's going to happen. And your love and your care is to don't be too concerned. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let our hearts be troubled. Let us be excited about the day that you will return, and the joy of the Lord, your joy, let it be our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.